What have we learned? It's Celebration Sunday, the end of our 40 days of community, at least initiative and program together. Some of you may have heard the old joke that imagines the time when President Bush, and you can take your pick, can be the older or the younger, dies and goes to heaven, and there he sees Moses, the lawgiver. But each time he tries to meet this great man of God, Moses gives him the slip. It's pretty obvious he's trying to keep his distance. Finally, however, they do come face to face, and the commander-in-chief asks him, "Why in the world are you avoiding me?" And Moses replies, "Well, you know, George, the last time I talked to a bush, I spent 40 years wandering in a wilderness." Now, it hasn't been 40 years for us, only 40 days, and I'm always amazed at how quickly that kind of an interval passes by. And certainly it has not been a wilderness time or even an aimless wander. There's been a satisfying sense of wonder, if anything, as we've rediscovered and enjoyed again the benefits of growing deeper together as a faith community. Today, really, we've set the service up that you can do most of the sharing, the participating in song, in picture, and in speaking. So it'll be a very brief summary message, and the whole morning really a spiritual party, you might say, reflecting on where we've been and where we hope to journey from here. We're ready for some follow-up and follow-through. Deuteronomy 11, verse 2 kind of sets the theme for our service today. Remember today what you've learned about the Lord through your experiences with him, and that's what we want to do. How many of you could honestly say, "I've learned something new during the 40 days of community"? Can I see a show of hands? Great, that's quite a few. How many of you maybe didn't learn something new, but there was something old that was refreshed and revitalized in a very powerful way? I know that was true for me with almost every single day. We want to recap the big lessons that we highlighted, and for this reason, so that hopefully we master them and we won't have to relearn them again. We'll be able to live them. Let's consider first what we learned about worshiping together. We started with that first purpose for which we're made, worshiping God. Matthew 18, 20, Jesus said, "Wherever two or three of you come together in my name, I am there with you." We saw that worship can happen anywhere, but how great it is to know that where two or three or more are gathered, there's a special sense of Christ's presence. We learned that worship is primarily praise, not exclusively so, but primarily so. And the usual thermostat setting, if you will, for worship should be that of a festival, not a funeral. But for us, the great thing is, even for Christians, a funeral can be something of a celebration, a homegoing, as we claim the great heritage that's promised to us in Jesus. We've learned we're not the first church of the Frigidaire. You are not God's frozen chosen. Our Lord is a great God, and when we affirm him together, when he's lifted up, we are lifted too. Amen? And you'll have opportunity this morning to do just that. We're going to encourage some of you to come and share what God has put on your heart. Nothing beats doing that together. We're designed to worship. Number two, we learned some things about fellowshipping together. The second great purpose for which we're made is that of fellowship. There are two keys that we saw here. Both of them highlighted in Romans 12:5. Since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other. That's the first key. We belong to each other in the body of Christ. And then it says, and each of us needs all the others. We need one another in Christ. Jesus never meant for you to live life alone. And this is true, whether you're single, married, divorced, you know, widowed, whatever. You need a spiritual family that's going to be there for you, one to which you are giving and receiving at the same time. Some of you took that essential step of committing to a small group for the first time in your life. I think most of you will probably never be content to do without one again. Relationships, we underscored, are really what life is about. When you think about it, that's really the whole of life. If you summarize the Bible, if you boil it down into one or two key verses, it's what Jesus pointed out. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself, the first and second great commands as he saw them. If you do that, God can say to you, you've got it, you understand. That's your purpose. We saw that we're designed for relationships. We also understood this, that healthy relationships take an effort. In James 3:18, it says you can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other. Boy, isn't that true? The hard work of getting along with each other and treating each other with dignity and honor. It's hard work, it's labor intensive, but it's well worth it when it comes to the results and the payoff. We learned some things about fellowship. We also learned about the third purpose, discipleship, or about growing together. I think the main theme here was that it demands participation and involvement. You simply have to find a way to put it in action and put it in action in a community setting. You do not really grow just by what you hear. You grow by what you put into practice. If you tried something new, tried to develop a new spiritual discipline, even just the daily devotional reading and journaling, you stretched your faith muscle and you grew. I really wish that you could build your body or sculpt your body or just plain old lose weight. I'd settle for that just by reading a book, don't you? But you know what? It doesn't happen. I've tried it. When you sit there and you eat a Pringle and take a sip of Coke with every page that you turn, it does not. Don't laugh that hard, Debbie, all right? I heard that over there. You need to work out. We saw that you grow faster and stronger together. In fact, what we really highlighted is you cannot grow spiritually by yourself. It's really pretty much an impossibility. You may gain some information, but not transformation. You may end up smarter than you started out, but you're probably still going to be stuck with the same old you began with. In Ephesians 2:21, it says, "We who believe and are carefully joined together with Christ as parts of a beautiful, constantly growing temple for God, we're parts of one body." And remember that graphic picture? It was presented a number of times, I think, in the materials. If hands and legs and noses, if the body parts start trying to self-amputate, they will not thrive in isolation. They will die. And so removing yourself from fellowship not only cripples you spiritually, it maims everybody else that's a part of this body of Christ. If you're not connected regularly to a group of believers, the lifeblood is not flowing to your soul. You simply cannot grow. That verse, that theme continues in Ephesians 4:13. This work must continue until we're all joined together in the same faith and in the same knowledge of the Son of God. We must become a mature person, growing until we become like Christ and have his perfection. What is maturity? According to that verse, the goal of our growth, the template for discipleship, is to be like Christ. And who or what is Christ? That same verse says he's perfection. Now, are you perfect yet? Am I perfect yet? Please don't answer that in public. I don't know that I could handle that response. We're not. We're in process, aren't we? So we all need one another. We need to grow together until Jesus Christ returns or calls us home. And my takeaway phrase, not only from this segment, but I think maybe from the whole of the 40 days of community, was this thought: you're as close to God as you choose to be. That's a keeper, isn't it? You're as close to God as you choose to be. Now, will you grow together or will you regress alone? The other thing we saw was about ministry. This was the fourth purpose, about serving together. And we underscored that we all need to be served and we all need to serve others. Now, it's kind of a two-way challenge here. You have to learn, on one side, the challenge is to learn to accept help from somebody else. And if you cannot do that, if you do not see the need for that, you have a pride problem. You're arguing with God about his design. He says you need that, even if you don't think you do. But on the other hand, if you can't help someone else, you have a selfishness problem. You're designed to do both, to give and to receive. We were challenged to think through our responsibility to other believers. During our daily devotions, we looked at 40 of the one another passages in Scripture. And man, we've got a list to work on, don't we? We're to love, we're to encourage, we're to help, we're to greet, we're to counsel one another. Galatians 6:10 kind of draws it all together under one. Every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. We were challenged to pray a very simple prayer, just three words: God, use me. But what a powerful prayer that can be when we really mean it. God, use me. Get prepared to have him bless your socks off if you really mean it, because God is looking for somebody just like you. And we learn to serve best by simply being available before God and learning to pray this whatever prayer: God, whatever I can do for you. Big, little, doesn't matter. It's whatever you want. I'm here. I'm ready. We learned to serve one another. And finally, we had the fifth purpose, which is mission or evangelism. It's about reaching out together, reaching out together. James 1:27 says, "Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight." The test of our faith in terms of the genuineness and reality of it really doesn't come down to how much you know. It really isn't a matter of what you say. Anybody can kind of mouth or profess a creed. You can always parrot the words. But the test of the genuineness of faith and love is really what you do. It's how you live. And in particular, it's how you treat others. It's exciting. Every Sunday we walked in, those bins for multi-service got all the more full, didn't they? filled overflowing. I know some of the excess has already been packed away, but we have a truckload to take, and that's a great thing for us to do. Every small group right now is either planning or somewhere in the process of demonstrating God's love in a hands-on way, a service project, an outreach. You'll hear an example of some of those this morning. And if you're reaching out, I don't think it'll be the last time for you, because you've understood, you maybe learned in a way that you never did just by hearing it, but by doing it, you've understood how rewarding it is. We do this not just for the sake of serving, though. We do it for the sake of sharing Jesus. Because the bottom line is this: God has a plan and purpose for our life, and that plan is that we might live with him forever in heaven. Our sins get in the way of that, so he sent his son Jesus into this world to die for our sin and rise again, and by faith we might have forgiveness of sin and not only a home in eternity with God forever, but a purpose and reason for life here on earth while we remain and wait for him. That's the good news in a nutshell, isn't it? And that's the news we're committed to sharing. Why must we share it? Look again at Romans 10. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard of him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? The answer that verse screams out is they can't. It's impossible. Unless somebody like you, like me, shares and shows, they have no hope. And there are people on your block, there may be people within your home under your own roof who will die without the hope of Christ if you and I do not tell them, if we do not communicate love. We're here. We're the messengers. I saw one of my evangelism students at seminary kind of light up to this concept about a week or so ago in class. And it's a young lady who I could kind of tell really wasn't happy about being there. I mean, we're like into our ninth week, and the vibes are always such that I'm thinking, man, there's something going on. And finally, she put up her hand one day. They had turned in their first project, and she said, I want you to know, I'm only here because I have to be. This is a required course. And my pastor said I should go because we need somebody in our church that can do something about evangelism. I've really struggled. And I'm thinking, oh, wait for it. This is going to get really good. And then she goes on and she says, when you gave us this assignment to go out and find two unchurched or unsaved people and ask them why they haven't pursued Christ further, she said, I just about quit. She said, I don't think I even know anybody in that category. And then she said, but I read one of the other books we were assigned to read, and it said there you should pray 5 minutes a day for five lost people. So I didn't know what else to do, so I did it. She said, one of the people I was praying for was a teenage friend of my son. He started hanging around the house. In the space of a few weeks, we had opportunities to invite him to come to youth group and play basketball at church. Last weekend, he finally came along on a youth retreat, and there he accepted Christ. I watched it happen, she said. I was praying for him, and the youth leader was talking to him, and she said, I never thought God could use me like that. I'm ready to go do it again. I'll tell you what I said to the class. If I wasn't getting paid for this and we didn't have to put a certain number of credit hours in, I'd just send you all home today, because I said, this feels like a win, doesn't it? Some of you hopefully have had that fire lit, or at least that spark set in your life. You're beginning to understand, if you start looking for chances to share Christ and show love, God is going to deliver them. Easter's coming next Sunday. Use it. Invite people here. When the Da Vinci Code film hits the theaters, we'll have resources for you to compare its lie to God's truth, to engage the seeker in evangelistic dialogue. Do you realize what a privilege it is to be a part of God's work? Do you? And if you know of a more significant thing to do in life, you'll have an opportunity in the testimony time to stand up and tell us what it is, all right? But I don't think it's going to happen. The real question is simply this, and on this I want to close my sharing. It's now, what are we going to do? What are you going to do with what you've learned? What are you going to do with what we've remembered? Philippians 4:9 puts it this way. It's simple, it's obvious, but it's challenging enough. It's keep on doing the things you've learned and received and heard, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's live the lessons. And realize this, every time you repeat and reenact something you've learned over these 40 days, you're etching them deeper into your character. You're writing them onto your soul. That habit is becoming an attitude, and that attitude is becoming part of who and what you are. And that's where we want to take this. Let's bow our heads and hearts before the Lord. Let's come before the throne of grace in a prayer of thanksgiving, thanking God not only for what has happened, but for what remains. And I believe some of it is the best yet to come. Let's speak to our Father. Dear Lord, we want to thank you again for what you've done, for this really is all of your doing. Anything of value, anything of worth, Anything we praise is a reflection of you. We thank you this day for life itself, for the breath that we have. We thank you that you created us. And we thank you for eternal life, that you saved us, for the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We rejoice that you have given us a purpose in this world. And we thank you that you've guaranteed us a home in heaven through faith in your Son. We acknowledge we would not have anything, we would not be anything without you. And today, Lord, we offer up again our thanks for you. We want to bless you for each other. We want to thank and praise you for our church family. We're not perfect yet. We're only in progress. We'll never be perfect this side of heaven, but we're headed there, Lord, and we thank you that we now know we take that journey together. And we're glad that you allow us to be the part of something so significant in this world, something that will be of everlasting value. So, Lord, we say to you once more, God, use me. We pray, Lord, whatever you want us to do with our lives, big or small, great or tiny, we're yours. Empower your people together, I pray. Meet us, I ask, in a special way. Receive the praise and the joy of your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have two opportunities built in today's service to do some reflecting and some sharing on what God has been doing in your lives. And in this first segment, simply we're going to devote our attention to a very short PowerPoint presentation, but we're sharing here some excerpts lifted from quotes that we received from you in that My Story form that we handed out the last couple of Sundays, as well as a few pictures of some of our small groups that have been meeting. Sit back and enjoy, reflect on what God has done, and be thinking and preparing what you might like to come forward and say when we come to that second testimony time a little later in our service.
Offering is all that we bring. We give our lives, claim you as King.
We are your servants, and before you we bow. With every breath, we make this vow.
We will live to worship, give you praise with all our hearts for.
Yours now and always.
What a fantastic lead-in that is to our next praise and sharing testimony section. And there's a portion here from Psalm 40. The psalmist says, I proclaim righteousness in the assembly. I do not conceal your love. And we don't want to keep God's great love and kindness hidden today. We've got at least the next 15 minutes of this service, and you have to fill that time. All right? Not my problem this morning. Well, I never have that problem filling time, all right, before someone else says it. But it's your opportunity to share. We want to just invite you. I'm going to start off with John Henschel and his grandchildren coming. They're going to kind of prime the pump for us in their sharing. But when they're done, you'll notice there are two mics at the sides here near the end aisles. And if you have something you would simply like to say, it may just be a brief, I want to thank God for what he's done in my small group. But if you have something you want to share this morning, when they're finished, it's your turn to come up and just kind of hopefully we'll have some lines at both of those mics, and you'll be ready to tell us what God has been up to.
We're just going to come up here so it's a little easier for Caitlin and Aiden to see, and so you can see them. One of the most, I loved this 40 days of community. I thoroughly enjoyed being a part, many parts actually, because I was part of two small groups. Our Wednesday night prayer meeting actually became a 40 days of community group, and that was exciting in that we started a little bit of a visitation of our shut-ins, and then our regular small group that meets in the homes. Again, we just grew closer and closer together, and that seems almost impossible to do because we're a close group as it is, but we've just enjoyed the whole thing. But one of the things that really touched me about this 40 days of community was a part that Jackie Iatesta threw in, and I know many of you were a part of, and that was the walking program. And these are my two walking buddies right here. We put on a lot of miles. As a matter of fact, I was amazed at how many miles Caitlin and Aiden were able to walk. Caitlin and Aiden both went on quite a few 5 to 10 mile hikes with me, and it's been an exciting time. And I'm going to let Caitlin and Aiden both share a little bit about what the hikes meant to them and some of the things that we came across.
Well, we like hiking, and it's fun, and we like doing it, and we do it almost every day. If it's a nice day, we go out for a little walk around the neighborhood.
I like everything that that God creates.
Tell me some of the things we found on our hike.
We found a candlestick, a broken one, and then
how about some of the animals we saw?
We saw a turkey
and a snake.
And a snake.
Actually, we had so many nice hikes in so many different places. We hiked around the Boone Homestead, and we hiked on the Perkiomen Trail. But the biggest excitement for me was hiking around our own neighborhood. And Caitlin has some things here she'll show you real quick that we did find. And actually, because of this hiking program, actually, Caitlin and I were subpoenaed to go to court next week. We actually found a loaded .45 caliber handgun in our neighborhood. So We had to terminate that hike and go home and call the state police, and that kind of got involved. So we'll be going to court this week over that. But here's a candlestick we found on another hike, which was kind of exciting, and that sits on our dining room table now for Easter with a candle in it. Go ahead. What else do you have in there? Tell them what this is, Aiden.
A deer call.
This is a deer call. We were hiking along a field looking for deer tracks, and we found a deer call. So you could try it if you want, but if you stretch that out, it sounds like a grunting deer. So go ahead. What else do you have in there? It's interesting the things you can come across along the road. Here's $3 bills I found. That'll go in the offering later. Go ahead. Hurry up quickly. Quickly. We don't have a lot of time.
This blue jay feather.
Aiden found that blue jay feather.
This is the snail shell we found. And a cocoon we also...
We found a real neat cocoon. We turned that over to Dave Ward. He's a science teacher, so he enjoyed that. And anyway, a lot of other assorted things. Here's some mirrors and some the center of hubcaps that the kids found really. A lot of little treasures we found, but it was really a lot of fun. I just want to share one verse that really touches me. Deuteronomy 6, 5 to 7 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." It really touches me to take these guys out and hike and walk along the road and talk about the Lord and his things and see his world around us. And it was exciting to just stop and talk to people in our community. And that's where the community part really came into me, because we talked to some people at length that we see from day to day or from time to time, but we never really stopped and talked to. And we had some fantastic conversations with some of our neighbors. Just quickly, one lady that hasn't lived near us too long shared with us how she really almost feels intimidated walking around our area because she's of a different ethnic background and she's not comfortable. And that kind of shocked me, because she looks like us. She looks like me and you. And yet she feels that discomfort. And then I thought how important it is for us in our community to start talking to the people around us and make them feel comfortable. Another guy that we've known for years and have bought Christmas trees from for years, I never really talked to him. And then he wants us to stop and just sit on his deck and talk to him. And we have a couple times. And the kids really enjoyed playing with his dog. And he told me how he's been up in this area since... now I can't remember what he said. Anyway, he's been there since he's 17, and he's like 68 now, and they own a big Christmas tree farm, and he just told us all about the work that he's put into the place. Another guy has a little bed and breakfast right down the road. His wife's 86, and they just gave up the bed and breakfast. And the stories he had to tell about people that have stayed at his bed and breakfast. It's exciting to talk to the people in your community. I think it's just been a great time, and that's what it is to be in the community and sharing with the community. So that's what we wanted to share. Thank you.
We've got a good start here. Who's going to be next? Come on down.
I had the privilege of giving the prayer of invocation this morning. I was thinking about maybe 5 years ago, the way I came into church was more like a submarine. You know, I came in, periscope up, tried to find my pew, sat down, quickly snuck out the back. When my wife and I started the 40 Days of Purpose with a small group, and then now the 40 Days of Community, and we got to meet so many nice people. When I stood up here today, all I saw was friends. And I thought, what an impact on me and Val. Both programs have been such a blessing to us. And when I look out and I see my friends, and I realize that I made so many in such a short time, the message of love in Corinthians about giving, and it's more gifts are given back to the giver, we just feel the same way. Everything that we've done has come back 100-fold to us. I'm feeling so blessed to be a member of this church, have so many friends here, and be a member of this community. I love all of you. Thank you.
We started walking the 10,000 steps. I mentioned to my daughter that we had to walk 10,000 steps, and she said, "Well, how many have you walked, Mom?" And I said, "Well, this week I walked like 5,000, 6,000. She said, "Well, you better step it up a notch, because you're going to end up in the ocean. You're never going to make Jerusalem." So I went to work, and I mentioned to them at work what my daughter had said. And lo and behold, everybody in my department started wearing a pedometer. And even those who, and they said they would contribute. There's steps for me because they didn't want me to end up in the ocean. They wanted me to make Jerusalem. And even people that I didn't even think knew what Jerusalem was. So I thought it was a good witness.
I can really do this because even though I'm a big mouth in small groups, I'm not good in big groups. But the 40 days, well, the first one was kind of the start of it, of me being a better listener. And then this second one was just such an eye-opener about God's love. I did not grow up in a Christian home, although I went to Catholic school. And I wished as a child that I would have known about God's love. And this group has just kind of picked me up a lot of times. And it's just been just an awesome, awesome feeling to be a part of a church that just has really shown me what God's love is. And in really small ways, you don't have to be... you know, maybe well-read in the Bible. Sometimes it's just something as simple as a smile or a hug to somebody that just opens the door. So I just wanted to say thanks to you, and I love everybody here.
When I first thought about this 40 days, these programs always intimidate me. I become really intimidated and overwhelmed. And I thought, oh, this is just going to be another one of those studies that show me how far I've fallen short. But it has just been such a great experience. The first thing that came to my mind, it just stood out to me where we were encouraged to pray, Lord, I don't really care about other people. I care about myself and my family. And that just impressed me so much. And I thought, God is really telling me something here. And all of the studies, especially when it's all about love, that was the thing that touched me most.
I ought to put high heels on. When we talk about the 10,000 steps we're supposed to take or walking to Jerusalem, when Gloria said, let's go walking, I always like the mall because every so far there's a bench. And my steps are bench to bench. And we had a very good group at Sue and Bruce's place. And I think one thing that was stressed through it all is that we should show love one to another in this church with everybody. And one point that was always brought out, let's just not talk it, let's show it by what we do. And I think that's a good model that we should live around here. And I appreciate this church and the way I can grow through the preaching that's been done and the way the ministers show it through the way they live. And I thank God for Trinity EC and you fine people.
To come. It's more blessed over here with the pastoral staff. Or when I think of 40 days and what it meant, I think it's answered prayers. When I first started coming to Trinity, it was on a date with my wife. Well, she wasn't my wife yet. You guys were finishing up the 40 Days of Purpose. I asked my home church to do that, and they didn't want to. They said, well, you can do a small group, but nobody will come out. Well, we prayed about it, and God sent 30 people out. So I ended up being the leader of leaders and never got to be in a small group. And I kept praying about that opportunity. And Karen and I have often prayed for God to open our home up to be used where his presence would be felt. And God gave us the opportunity in this 40 days of community to have a small group in our house that we weren't sure anybody would come. We were praying and praying for God to send people, and God sent the perfect people to our house. And we have a very blessed group. There's a lot of opportunities for us to minister that God's giving us over the next several months that we have plans to serve the church and the community. One of the other biggest blessings was during the second or third week, I was on a mission trip. And Karen is not very bold. She's kind of shy. But she stepped up to the plate and opened our house up and had the small group. And I know the others rallied around, and they probably had the best small group while I wasn't there. So, but also, I was in a sense of community while I was on the mission trip, because we planted a church and ended up in a neighborhood that was claimed for Christ, where the last day we went out and there was a family that came to know the Lord. That opened their house up for a Bible study. There was two women from across the street, a father and a son from up the street, and some people from down the street that gathered around, and we just had a block party out in the neighborhood. And isn't that what this is all about? As John said, reaching out to our neighbors, and God just answers those prayers. And I just want to thank Trinity and thank God for this opportunity. It's been awesome. Thank you.
Good stuff, and I'm sure we're just kind of sampling. I want to ask Dee Smith to come forward now, and she's going to represent one of our small groups that really developed kind of a concept out of their sharing that they would like to literally pass on to us and encourage you to use as a device, really as a means of keeping this kind of thing going.
Good morning. Well, one small thing that our small group was trying to do during the last 40 days was to pass on the love of Christ. We were inspired by the idea of paying it forward or passing it on, as we sung earlier in the service. We did this by looking for some unique and practical ways to act out this love or passing it on. One example of how this has worked in my life was when it was brought to my attention that a coworker was experiencing some difficult times during the holiday season. My husband and I surprised her family with delivering a Christmas tree to her house. Now, we could have chosen to do it anonymously, but instead I took the opportunity to tell her that it was from us, because it allowed me to share with her that we were doing it in God's love, and we wanted her to know that he loves her and that we were praying for her. She was very moved by the gesture. In fact, she had told me that she wasn't sure even if her kids were going to have a Christmas tree that year. It seemed really simple to us, but it really meant a lot to her. She was so touched that someone would think to do something like that. But I encouraged her by telling her that maybe someday she would have the opportunity to do something for someone else, passing on that gesture. Recently, I found out that since then, that same woman found out that there was a child in school who was about to celebrate a birthday, and he had told her that he didn't think he had any treats that he was able to bring in to share with his class. She took it upon herself to bake a couple dozen cupcakes and bring it into school for this child so that he would have treats to share with his class. The love of Christ was passed on through that gesture. There's a couple things that we want you to do this week. First, we want you to be encouraged to pass on the love of Christ while giving the church some great publicity at the same time. We want you to look for people around you to share the love of Christ. When you share that love, leave this card. It explains in a simple way what we are doing, who we are, and why we're doing it. We have the cards being passed out now. You can take as many as you want. We have some more available out in the back. You'll see later when you exit. It's a simple but exciting and fun way for anyone, no matter how young, how old, you can share the love of Christ. These are just through simple, random acts of kindnesses, but with a twist. We have some ideas that we gathered together that you might be able to use just to start you off. You can pick up the check for someone you don't know in a restaurant. When you go out to eat, you can actually, you know, call the waitress over, tell them you're going to pick up that tab, have the waitress deliver one of these instead of the bill to the table. Pay the bill maybe for someone standing behind you at Walmart, even if it's just a few things, maybe a bag of chips and a drink or something. Pass on the card. Simple things, it doesn't have to involve a lot of money. Mow someone's grass. How nice it would be to come home on a Friday, you know, mow your neighbor's grass, leave the card in the doorway, maybe. They got a free pass mowing the lawn. Pick up the neighbor's trash cans. It's something the kids can do. Bring trash cans in, pull them up for the neighbors. Just simple things, holding the door open for someone behind you. Let them go first. Probably a lot of us do this as commonplace anyway, but again, the little twist of just kind of passing it on, that you're consciously doing it in Christ's love. Flowers, cut flowers from your garden, make cookies for new neighbors, maybe leave a larger tip, a card of encouragement to someone you feel that may need it. Leave money in a vending machine, extra money for the next person to come along. Trade tickets at the deli counter with someone who looks like they're really in a hurry. How about some free babysitting to a single mother or a busy family? How about a ride? Offer a ride to someone who you think may need a ride or doesn't usually drive. Deliver some baked goods for the local police or fire department. Include the card. Drop off flowers to someone who might just need a little pick-me-up for the week. The second thing we want you to do is next week, we want to hear from you how you gave your card away. And this is really fun and simple. Next week, when you come into church, take a moment and write down on our graffiti wall, our graffiti board out there, by the office, how you got to share Christ's love. Pass it on and share God's love. Thank you.
They said they have 5,000 of those cards to distribute, all right? So I've got your work cut out for you. Actually, there's a head start. Sydney, put your hand up here. Yep. Someone's going to need a ride next Sunday from the Birdsboro area for services, so if you want a chance to use your card here this morning, right here, take care of it. We end our service this morning with what is both a sacred but a joyous time in responding to the invitation of our Lord to gather at his table. And in place of our customary consecratory prayer, I've picked a song that always kind of touches my heart at a very deep level. It's one, you'll see the words on the screen as you listen. I want to encourage you just to reflect upon the theme. The title is Wounded Soldier. Reminds us that sometimes the Christian life is described in Scripture as fighting the good fight. This world is a battle, and we take some hits, and they're not always from the enemy. Sometimes there's some friendly fire that gets exchanged. But the theme of this song is the idea of God's people gathering at the table for a time of healing. And I know oftentimes as I prepare for communion, I think my prayer could be boiled down to this. Lord, make it good again. Make it good again. Let's make it right, whether it's with me, with you, Lord, or me with my Christian brothers and sisters. And I think that's the theme of the song. Listen to these words, reflect on them deeply, use it as a time of prayer, then I'll come and lead you in the sharing of the emblems.
Desperate cries for help, pleading for shelter and for peace. Our comrades are suffering. Come, let us meet them at their need. Don't let pour the oil
let us bind the hurt. Let's cover them with a blanket of His love. Come, let us break the bread. Come, let us give them rest. Let's minister healing to them. Don't let another wounded soldier fought on the front lines for our King, capturing the enemy's stronghold. Weakened from battle, Satan crept in to steal their lives. Don't let a wound dead soldier die. Come, let us bore the oar. Come, let us bind the hurt. Let's cover them with a blanket break the bread. Come, let us give them bread. Let's minister healing to them. Don't let another wounded soul. Minister healing to them. Don't let another wounded soldier die.
We have a blanket of love.